Big Brother is changing how your brain works. This is fascinating. This is from Technocracy News. And they've had a study, always these studies. This study has determined that living your life under a Big Brother camera is not just about violating your privacy. It's not just about constant surveillance and trapping you and everything. But because you understand that it's there, you consciously will change your behavior. But it also changes you in ways that you are not even aware of. That's what this study found. Yeah, this all gets worse. The ultimate pressure to conform that you're not even aware of that is happening internally with you with these pervasive cameras. He says, every time you walk down a street, electronic eyes are watching you. These cameras might be doing more than just recording your movements, according to a new study that peers into the psychology of surveillance. They could be fundamentally altering how our brains process visual information. To cut to the chase here, what they found was that when you were involved in surveillance, they gave them certain patterns to try to remember, and it didn't affect their comprehension and their memory of certain things, but what it did affect was their ability to remember faces. Isn't that fascinating? That was the only thing that it affected, was their relationship to other people. So while previous research has shown that surveillance cameras can modify our conscious behavior, making us less likely to steal or more inclined to follow the rules, a new study published in the Neuroscience of Consciousness suggests that being watched affects something far more fundamental, the unconscious way that our brains perceive the world around us. They said, we found direct evidence that being conspicuously monitored via closed-circuit TV markedly impacts a hardwired, involuntary function of human sensory perception, the ability to consciously detect a face. They said this was done in the University of Technology in Sydney. They designed an ingenious experiment to test how surveillance affects our unconscious visual processing. They recruited 54 undergraduate students. They split them into two groups. One of them, they didn't do any surveillance cameras, but the other group was not only had a camera there watching them, but they took them backstage and they showed them the whole setup. You know, here's what we're going to be recording with you, really driving that home to them, okay? And had them sign consent forms that they're going to be watched, they're going to be recorded, showed them the equipment, how it's going to be done, all the rest of this stuff. And then they took the cameras and positioned them. They weren't just kind of inconspicuously put up in the corner of the roof or something like that. They put the cameras right up to them to capture their whole face, their whole body, their face, even their hands, as they were performing tasks. So the visual task itself employed a continuous flash suppression, that's what they call it, where they temporarily prevent images shown to one eye from reaching conscious awareness while the brain is still processing them unconsciously. Participants viewed different images through each eye. One eye saw rapidly changing colorful patterns, while the other saw faces that were either looking directly at them or away from them. They said our surveilled participants became hyper-aware of face stimuli almost a second faster than the control group. And it occurred, though, without participants realizing it. When the researchers ran the same experiment using simple geometric patterns instead of faces, there was no difference between the watched and the unwatched groups. The enhancement was specific to social stimuli, faces, suggesting that the surveillance taps into fundamental neural circuits that process social information. And so they had problems remembering these faces, but they could remember the other stuff that they were shown. They said perhaps most unsettling was the disconnect between participants' conscious experience and their brain's response. Unsettling findings that depict participants reporting little concern or preoccupation with being monitored. Its effect on basic social processing were marked, highly significant, and imperceptible to the participants. You don't even know this is happening. It's like subliminal suggestions and other things like that. So there's like this subliminal suggestion that is, in a sense, making you reject human faces. because of the presence of that camera. The study suggests that constant observation may be affecting us on a deeper level than we previously realized. So not only are they watching everything that we're doing, not only are they recording everything that we're doing, but the very process of them doing that is kind of creating a subconscious revulsion between us and other people. It's amazing how they're trying to isolate us from each other. Everything that Trump did in 2020 and all these other politicians in every other country did, all of that stuff, very carefully designed to keep us isolated from each other. The implications extend beyond individual privacy concerns to subtle ways that surveillance might be reshaping human cognition and social interaction. Big Brother, it seems, isn't just watching us. He's changing how we see the world and how we see each other. Now, let's talk about something that's positive. This is also on Brownstone. The season for living. Karen, pull this up and show that picture of this. Oh, it's a different picture. Maybe it's further down. Yeah, that's the one that we want to talk about right there. In October 2020, Bob Moran published a cartoon privately on social media. He was still employed by the Telegraph newspaper, though he would soon be sacked from his position because he was somebody who pushed back against the social distancing. He pushed back against the masks that keep us from being able to see other people's faces. That kind of damage that was being done psychologically to the very young children, the mask thing. Bob's cartoon was of an old man and an old woman on a hill overlooking rolling fields and nestled homestead. And it was titled, Never Surrender Your Right to Be with the People You Love. Now, that's the first one that he did. He later did this one right here, where they're in the snow in a harsh situation. Why? Because things were getting harsher, right? And I think Bob Moran felt that. He felt like the harshness of winter, the coldness of these lockdown measures that were put onto us by, you know, conservatives like Boris Johnson and conservatives like Donald Trump, and then liberals like Justin Trudeau or Emmanuel Macron, right? Didn't matter. So the following year, he published the variation on his cartoon that you see there, where the fields are covered in snow and the man and the woman stand closer to one another than in the first one. Same title, Never Surrender Your Right to Be with the People You Love. His reputation for resistance to the COVID restrictions grew and grew, and Bob Moran, with searing simplicity, said there are people and places that are of you and for you always. And so most of this Brownstone thing was talking about the power of a picture, you know, worth a thousand words and so forth. But just saying that he was reaffirming what we fundamentally know and saying that sometimes when we codify what we fundamentally know, and we put it into words, sometimes it diminishes its power. Because as this person said, when we defend our right to a fundamental good, we somehow diminish it. We admit as possible what ought to be impossible. It should have been impossible for them to separate us. I've seen all the pictures of family members, you know, going to visit others, and they got plastic between them. And you've seen the pictures, you know, they got like a shower curtain or something. Oh, let me hug you with a shower curtain. How sad that people would submit to that. How foolish that they would believe the lies. I mean, you just have to, it doesn't even pass the sniff test or the sanity check. Being with one another in their world is not up for discussion. And Bob depicted that with a directness that no words could achieve. The man and the woman fit with each other in their world as pieces of a human jigsaw. There's no other place, no other way for them. And they are enchanting to look at because they are enchanted. And that's the key thing with all this. He said, and so then what happened with him? You know? Well, he got fired. He got fired because he was a COVID critic. He got fired because he was a mask critic. He got fired by the Telegraph. And he had his tweets removed by Twitter at that time. That is what happens to us now. But he is still there. He's published his first book of cartoons. It's called Bob 2020 to 2024.
Hello, it's me, Volodymyr Zelensky. I'm so tired of wearing these same t-shirts everywhere for years. You'd think with all the billions I've skimmed off America, I could dress better. And I could, if only David Knight would send me one of his beautiful gray MacGuffin hoodies or a new black t-shirt with the MacGuffin logo in blue. But he told me to get lost. Maybe one of you American suckers can buy me some at thedavidknightshow.com. And David is giving a 10% discount to listeners from now until 2025. At that price, you should be able to buy me several hundred. Those amazing sand-colored microphone hoodies are so beautiful. I'd wear something other than green military cosplay to my various galas and social events. If you want to save on shipping, just put it in the next package of bombs and missiles coming from the USA.